Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Good Saturday morning. Hope you're having a good weekend. August 1st. Hello, August 1st. Wow. A lot of things coming up. Welcome in. Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman. No, that's coming up. This is not. See, I've got four shows going. Mark Kelly's going to be my guest as soon as I stumble out of this. I have 101 with Greg Pogue right now. Okay? We do it in this 10 o'clock time slot. 2 weeks from today, Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb will kick off its 15th year. Coach Bubba Spears, of course, it started with Kurt Page, Craig Ladd, and so that will start 2 weeks from today at 9 o'clock, so 2 hours, and then August 21st, Friday night, on 102.5 The Game, we will have the Metro Nashville High School Football Game of the Week starting, and my company in partnership with Metro Schools do that. And, of course, there's nothing else going on in my life. The Nashville Cats tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, F&M Bank Arena, on the game, 102.5 The Game, with Jake Lyman on the call. We'll have that as well. And then if the Cats win that one, we'll host a week from today at 3 o'clock the Arena Football 1 championship game. So, all right, I'm going to take a break because that was a lot to go. Mark Elliott, a friend, a class act, just in he's almost old enough to be called a legend. 16 years, the athletic director at Trevecca, announcing that in the end of this school year, he will be retiring. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here with
you. Well, and this, a lot of this, like, we started, what, 15 years ago, University Showcase.
That's right.
You know, that followed Prep Football Talk.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well,
how you doing, man?
It's been an evolution. You and I were talking prior to coming on air here about all the change that we've seen through our history, dating back to the 70s and 80s, right? So it's amazing what's happened in Nashville. It's amazing what's happening in my case at Trevecca and Sports Talk Radio. It wasn't even there when we first started, right?
Yeah, well, he had Plaster. Of course, according to him, he invented Sports Talk Radio.
Of course, yes.
So,
he can cure cancer with Sports Talk.
Yeah, well, why now?
Well, I think it's obviously a great question that I've pondered for a couple years, knowing that this day is coming, right? We all do, in a sense. Several years ago, when Roy Williams decided to retire, they asked him why. And he said, I'm simply not the best person to run this program, to lead this program any longer. And I said, you know what? That's when I want to get out. I want to be able to say that. So I sort of kind of had that tape recorder in my brain saying, you know, this is this is where I want to be when that time comes. And so that's just really what I feel like. It's not that I can't do it. I certainly can. I've done it for 16 years, and I feel like the same passion. I feel the same energy, all of that. It's just time, you know. It's just time for another vision. It's time for someone to come in that has new, fresh eyes and ideas to see what we've done, and then just to build on that. Right? I'm very satisfied with where we are. I'm happy with where. I'm not satisfied. There's a lot more to do, and so the next person that comes in, who we will announce relatively soon, is going to take over and stand on the show.
I haven't got my interview yet. I just let you know.
Yeah,
but
answer your question short is it's just time, and we just feel like it is.
But have you had this? I mean, what you just said make you know, cause we're sort of you know, people ask me what you know. I'm not digging a ditch. Okay, when it's not fun, I'm done. Okay, but you're still having fun. But it seems like you've had this argument in your head for a year, you know, because one day I would imagine, no, I'm young, I'm energy. I believe the other side maybe this time.
certainly there are things within the environment that's changed. We've talked about this as well, right?
You think?
Yeah, we can talk about that later. But, you know, that does change the job somewhat. And it's not that I don't feel like I'm capable of doing it. It's like, you know, I don't want to wait till I'm 75 maybe to do something else. You know, I'm going to be 70 when we kind of tie this thing up. And, you know, this is a young man's game. It's a young person's game. And I feel like what's best for Trevecca, what's best for the athletic department, what's best for the athletes and the coaches is to get somebody in there that's got some new, fresh ideas and fresh eyes. Now was just the best time.
Yeah. The thing is, and this is a tough one to even ask, 16 years, but how could you encapsulate your tenure in one sentence? Or five words.
Coach an athlete centered.
And you can have a long sentence.
And philosophically united in the Christian scholar athlete philosophy. Everything comes down to Christian scholar athlete philosophy.
Yeah.
That would be it. And if there is any kind of legacy, that's what I want it to be, is we took that philosophy, made it the groundwork, made it the foundation, and we really meant it, and we really tried to execute it.
So, Mark Elliott with us, Trevecca, 16 years, the athletic director there. All 16 years, had to put up with my good buddy Greg Ruff. no truth to the rumor that... You just had enough of him.
No. Every day we have conversations. Every day.
I think of the Gruff.
Great friends.
One of my best buddies. But I was reading the. By the way, thanks to Greg, I got mentioned in the.
Press release.
I got mentioned in the press release.
Greg, you've been
what
a fountain.
The heck? I didn't even. I read. You know. I know. I knew all the things in it. So I was just glancing. You know, 30 minutes ago in the press release announcing your retirement and started the University Coast with Greg Polk. So I guess Greg's trying to get free tickets to something. I don't know.
No. Here's the truth, Greg. There are people that we can look back and say, you know, they've been longtime supporters. Mm-hmm. Those are alumni and fans. But there's a media piece to this too. You've been there longer than anybody else. You've been supportive of anybody else. You came to us and said, let's put you out there on the air. We didn't have that back then.
Yeah.
You know, we were on WNAZ a long time ago, broadcasting games and whatnot. But we didn't have somebody that would constantly call, ask us questions, support us, put us on media stuff. That's just not what they do for Division II.
Greg Ruff gave me no choice. But that was the entry point, obviously, my friendship with Greg. And then you – and I just believe in the mission of where Trevecca is because, you know – back in the day. Well,
we can say that a million times.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah. But, I mean, I remember first, you know, coming here and in the NAIA world, it was Lipscomb, Belmont, Trevecca. And, of course, they made their moves, you know, Belmont first, then Lipscomb, and Trevecca stayed NAIA. But your very first day on the job, what'd you do? Do you remember? Because we're going to Division II.
That was what I was hired to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was to move the needle from NAI to Division II. And that in itself was like a master's degree, PhD maybe level. Just all the work that we had to do for 4 years. And I tell this story all the time, Greg. When we got through, it was 4 years of significant work to make the transition. Because at the time... Division II was being very cautious about letting teams come in. It's a little bit different now. And so we were held to a higher standard than the teams that were already in Division II. In order to get into our club, so to speak, you have to perform like this. And in doing so, it took 4 years of significant work. Larry Knight, Steve Harris, Dr. Boone, all of us. It was an all-school decision. We had to change an awful lot of things. And to get in when we finally did, I've told this story a bunch of times. We did the press conference. We were all excited. We got back to the office. We sat down. We looked at each other. Now what do we do,
really?
Right? It's like now we have to completely start over. So it was 4 years of work. Really was.
And the CM Newton component of it. Mm. Talk about that. Mm.
Well, Dr. Boone had become friends with C.M. Newton. He hired him as a consultant to say, where should we be athletically? The NAIA was a bit chaotic, and it wasn't what necessarily we felt like we were competing on level ground with a lot of people.
Well, this would be not a lot of governance.
True.
How about that?
There was NCAA had a rule book that was, you know, 2 inches thick, and the NAIA had a rule book that was on a legal pad kind of thing, right? No, it wasn't that bad, but people would talk about that. There just was not there wasn't a lot of centrality to the
The Wild Wild West.
It was. And so they wanted to take a look at what are we. So Dr. Boone hired CM to come in and be a consultant. CM came in and did a study, and this was before me, and basically said, you're a Division II program. You don't even know it. Because a lot of things that we did were Division II-esque. Well, when we made the transition, the Division II comes in and he says, look, you're doing a lot of things right, but you can't prove it. You have to have the paperwork. You have to have the documentation. You have to have how are these athletes admitted? How are they financially aided? How are they practicing? All of those things had to be documented so that if NCAA came in and you didn't have a file where you could pick up that file out of your drawer and say, here's the proof, it wouldn't work. And every day we were afraid that we weren't going to be able to do it. We do it with our hands held behind our back. Now, we can do this very easily. So that transition, I'm also very, very proud of that.
Mark Elliott with us, Trevecca, 16 years. At the end of the school, you're retiring. We're going to get into a lot of different things. Local guy. Well, not local. Kingsport. He's local enough. Came to Vanderbilt. We'll get into the Vanderbilt days. Coaching, playing, 5 years in the Mets system. But we're going to keep on the business component of it. Then you had to find a conference. And the Great Midwest Athletic Conference, of which you founded with the help of others, obviously, the first time in two decades, the NCAA had allowed a new conference under its umbrella.
Greg, if there was one achievement that we came through and the whole process, that may be the one that's kind of behind the curtains that I'm maybe most proud of, because when we got into it, we didn't really realize how important conference affiliation is. The NCAA is pushing down. Here's just a quick example. If I were to throw a quiz out to the people who are listening and ask, how much are my NCAA dues every year? They would probably say, you know, $50,000, $100,000, whatever they would say. I mean, how much are my conference dues? They would say, you know, $10,000 or whatever. It's the exact opposite. I pay $900 a year for my NCAA membership dues. $900. I pay way above that for my conference dues. That's just an example of how the NCAA is pushing down the decision-making process to the conferences. That's why it is so important that you build that. And so when we got in, well, we could compete for as an independent for a while, whatever. Oh, no. Oh, no. If you want schedules, if you want governance, if you want eligibility, if you want all the legislative processes, postseason, all of that, you have to be involved in a conference. And there was just nowhere for us to go. If you looked at the geographical footprint of all the conferences around us, we didn't fit. So we had to go out and try to make one. And that process of building the GMAC, I wrote the operation codes for the GMAC. That was foundational to us and how we do it, but it also helped me a lot to go, oh, this is how you run a conference. These are the rules you better set up in order for it to work and not be chaos. So that was a big deal, and personally, that was, kind of, again, behind the curtains, that was one of the best achievements that we achieved.
Well, while we're in that, then the move to the Gulf Coast Conference, obviously, and Matt Williams, the former commissioner there, then is now the commissioner of the OVC. But the GMAC was geographically challenging, right? I mean, you're talking about Michigan, West Virginia, Ohio.
Exactly.
I think Kentucky Wesleyan was your closest.
Closest, yeah. They were 2 hours away.
In Owensboro.
Yeah.
So why the Gulf Coast?
Gulf South Conference is
known. Gulf South. What did I call it? Gulf Coast. Gulf South.
It was geographically better for us. That was one piece. The GMAC, or as we call the Great Midwest that we helped found, started moving away from us as we were hoping to get more Tennessee, Kentucky-centric type schools. they weren't ready to reclassify, or they didn't make it, or couldn't go through the process that we had to go through. And so little by little, the conference grew to the north and to the east, and you know, we were competing against people that were halfway up Michigan. The travel cost, exorbitant, right? We couldn't do it. And the teams that were in it, it wasn't fair to our teams and our coaches and our athletes, because teams that were in Central Ohio were they could ride on a bicycle to the teams and that they were playing in and come back, right? We were busing and having to spend the night and spending so much more money for travel, it just didn't work for us. And so we were looking for something that was more Southeast-centric. We're a Southeast school. One of the things that was interesting for us is that we have, as a denomination, the Nazarene Church, Trevecca represents the Southeast quadrant of the United States. And so that's our typical territory for students to come who are not athletes, but also for athletes too, because we don't go too far on the recruiting side of things necessarily. But that was where we just felt like was our best geographical and sort of denominational location for
and
us.
It rekindled old rivalries too.
You know, that can't be understated. You're exactly right. I tell the story, I'll never forget, when we were thinking about making the change, we were playing Lee University, an old rival.
In Cleveland, Tennessee.
They came to our gym before the volleyball season even started to just have a scrimmage. They had recruited a bunch of Middle Tennessee kids. They came up. Their parents came to see them because they wanted to watch mm-hmm. him play. Our parents came. And a preseason scrimmage had the feel of a conference game. People were cheering. This is a preseason scrimmage. My wife was sitting there next to me, and she elbowed me, and she said, "This is what you don't have in the great Midwest Athletic Conference. You don't have this." And it was the impetus for me to say, you know what, right, we got to go. We got to move.
Yeah.
And that was kind of one of the tipping points that made us go was that scrimmage.
Mark Elliott, our guest, one-on-one with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman & Webb. We're at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Roy's Meat Service,
great supporters of
Trevecca Athletics, yep. Especially baseball. And everything, and I know Greg Ruff comes over and sneaks food out all the time. So anyway, we'll take a break. More with Mark coming up right here. Oh, by the way, Brandon Bigsby, as Chase McCabe calls it, on the ones and twos, producing today. It's all here on 94.9 The Fan. Mark Kelly at the guest, Trevecca Athletics Director, 16 years, announcing recently he will retire at the end of the school year, and just a lot of things to get to. Let's do this. We mentioned a lot of names.
Yeah.
One we need to mention is Ron Bargatze.
Yes.
Because he was on the coaching staff of Roy Skinner, Vanderbilt, recruited you and I guess Charles Davis, Tom Springer. Yeah, that whole crew. So he brought you here from Kingsport, Tennessee.
Yeah. He is, I guess you'd say, the primary reason I'm at Vanderbilt. I do remember he had recruited me. There were some other schools I thought about going to, but he was the relationship, right? And so ultimately came here. I will tell one quick story. I thought it was kind of that I've reminisced about. There's a banker here in town named Jim Armstead. His dad was, or his father-in-law, excuse me, was an insurance salesman in Kingsport. And I remember there was a time when I was just trying to really struggle on where, you know, am I going to go to West Point to play for Mike Krzyzewski? Am I going to go to Duke and play for Bill Foster? Am I going to play to Wake Forest? What? And so I was milling all that stuff, confused as I could possibly be, and kind of went back into my room. I was the only one at the house and just said, you know, just prayed, God, what am I supposed to do? And it was almost instantaneously, there was a knock on my door, and it was Vic Underwood. Jim Armstead's a banker here at Pinnacle Bank, and he said, they came in and said, "Hey, we heard that you were interested in Vanderbilt, but we just thought we'd come and visit with you just a little bit." And, you know, that was a bit of a sign saying, I think that's maybe where I'm supposed to go. But back to Ron Bargatze, he was the one that really had the solid relationships with all of us. At the time, we were ready to sign under Coach Skinner, but then he retired, like, just out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Thought it was it surprised all of us. And then we thought that Ron Bargatze would be the next coach at Vanderbilt. We just did. I don't know exactly all the details of what happened. Wayne Dobbs ended up being the coach, and Ron stayed there for a year, then left, went to Trevecca.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really the first introduction. So
yeah, head coach at Trevecca, then at Austin Peay.
Austin Peay, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. So Coach B has got maybe one of the most relationship building and maintaining people in sports in Nashville history, right? Mm-hmm. Just a great person. And so we used to go over to Trevecca and watch his first year's teams perform and play. And you know, he sort of brought Trevecca into the modern era of basketball. It's what he really did. And, he was just he's one of those people that you can't forget. And we just I talk to him, you know, relatively regularly, you know, all the time.
You haven't made a hire without talking to him.
That's true.
He's been on, basketball,
that's
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No. He's been on our committee in the past. Yeah. He's on our, you know, just he's helped us with so many different things in our Hall of Fame at the athletic department.
I really feel that because at the time Ray Mears was doing what Ray Mears was doing, he was P.T. Barnum, you know, with all the different things that were going on. He loved to wear that orange jacket in Vanderbilt. Bruce Pearl followed that tradition here when he was up there and everything. And I, growing up, obviously a big SEC basketball fan, and Roy Skinner, I think he's probably one of the most underappreciated sports figures in the history of Nashville sports. What do you think about that? Because I don't think he gets his due for what he did.
Right. No, yeah. I agree.
That 75 team especially.
Yes. Yeah. F-Troop, right?
F-Troop, yeah.
Yeah, and
VBK and all that crew.
Yeah, Coach Skinner being Ron Bargatze being the recruiter. Mm-hmm. They had it was such a unique time. So very different than what it is now. I mean, I've talked to Rod Freeman, you know, was a little bit before that, and those guys used to talk, Tim Thompson, Jay Lowenthal, they would talk about the practices, how just radically different it is. About now it's 365 days.
Right.
And there was actually a start and a stop back in those days, and it was just
yeah, you couldn't start practice, and you had October 15th.
Right.
That's why you have those midnight manias right at midnight, yeah. October 15th.
Yeah.
Mark Elliott is our guest, Trevecca Athletics Director for 16 years, announcing his retirement at the end of the school year. This is 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb at Roy's Meat Service. That's called a rejoin. It's called a reboot, what I just did. Did you play baseball at Vanderbilt?
I did.
For Larry Schmitto?
And Roy Mewburn.
Roy Mewburn. So were you a baseball player playing basketball, or were you a basketball player playing baseball? I guess you can be both, obviously.
Then you could be both.
Right.
Not now, but then you could kind of be both. There weren't very many. Scotty Madison played football and and baseball. Mike Wright played football and baseball. Willie Donick came in, played basketball, but then transitioned over to baseball. When I was in high school, I wanted to play both. I wanted to play both, and so I wasn't going to go to a place that else. I could play both, and Vanderbilt afforded me the opportunity to be able to do that. So that was one of the reasons why I came to Vanderbilt. I wanted to be able to play both.
And
had a great experience on both sides.
Well, and then 5 years in the Mets system.
Well, that was a time I had just gotten married. Roe and I, we were sort of just starting our life together, and you couldn't start a life together any better because, you know, I'm going to the ballpark late, staying there late, playing games. There was some travel involved in it and all that, but we separated from all our friends to go on the road with the Mets. I played in the same outfield with Darryl Strawberry and Billy Bean, you know, those kinds of things. Played with guys that ended up being managers, Hondo McClendon, who was Pittsburgh Pirates, Johnny Gibbons, who was, all these guys, Jose Oquendo. I played with all those guys, and that was part of the thing that you just built an experience, a level of experience that I wouldn't have dreamed I was going to be an athletic director, but having played basketball, having played baseball, having gone and visited with the pro stuff, had coached at Vanderbilt, gone into business with Rod Freeman, those experiences built the body of work that allowed me to be an athletic director. And so that,
how close did you get to the show?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No. My first year I was with Darryl and I was the center fielder and he was a right fielder. My second year I was with Billy Bean and Darryl. And so I played on Sundays and holidays and when Darryl didn't feel like playing, you know.
Yeah.
A hard throwing left hander and Darryl's a left handed batter. I was a left handed batter. So I love Darryl and have spoken to him several times. Billy, the same thing. They were great guys to be teammates with, but those guys were significantly better than I was. And
I could go down. I mean, Darryl Strawberry was nobody was like him. No. I know he had his own demons.
Yes,
but nobody could do what he did. Yeah. I remember he had a quote. He said somebody said you're giving 75%. And he goes, yeah, my 75% is better than everybody else's 100.
Not bad. I could just tell you when Darryl Strawberry hit a ball, it just sounded different. Now, you've heard stuff like before.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you it sounded different, and it went farther, and it didn't look like he swung any harder than anybody else.
Yeah.
He's 6'4", broad shoulders, 32 waist, could run like wind. So that year was the strike year, the second year that I was with him, and we were in Lynchburg, Virginia, playing for the Mets, and that was the strike year. And what just so it happens, we had our manager and we had another guy who ended up leaving. So we only had one manager coach, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was the old guy. I was the graduated from college. Not everybody, most of the other guys were high school guys. And so they stuck me in there and they said, look, you coach first base. And I started coaching a little bit. And then our head coach, our manager, got thrown out of a couple games. So he hands me the card. So I'm a 22-year-old guy managing the single A Mets team from Lynchburg for a while, right? So you got Darryl Strawberry, and you know he gets a hit, and you just open your hand and say, okay, you want to steal, yeah. If you want to steal third, go ahead and steal third. And so he just did. So I'm 2-0 in baseball and professional baseball as a head coach.
Mark Elliott is our guest. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb here at Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. Let me tell you about the Boulevard Bar and Grill. It's if you want to know where my Murfreesboro hang is, actually with Chip Walters, they do they host the MTSU football and men's basketball shows. I do the women's show there, but I've got to know Jeff Neble, Leia, and Tay, the general managers there. He actually has 2J's Grill also in the borough, but they got all kind of different things. They have a daily special for $10. Well, you can't go to McDonald's for $10, okay? On Monday, it's called a Pick 2. Tuesday, 2B for chicken tacos, chips and salsa. The best deal. Every Wednesday, there's smash burger with fries, house salad, fish and chips, on and on and on. Italian night, all the good stuff going on. BoulevardMurfreesboro.com. Also, they have a dogs on the patio menu, meaning you can bring your dog, go out on the patio, and they will, like a $5 for a burger or chicken or whatever. Yeah, and so it's really a great concept, you know. And on Sunday night, specials on their pizza, buy one, get one free. Jeff Neble and his family have been in the restaurant business a long time. Great people on top of everything else. More with Mark Elliott when we come back right here on 94.9 The Fan. It's 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. Mark Elliott, 16 years, the athletics director at Trevecca, announcing his retirement at the end of the school year. A couple other programming notes. 2 weeks from today, August 15th, we'll continue doing this in the 10 o'clock time slot, but we kick off the 15th year of Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb. They've been with us, talked to Bob yesterday, as a matter of fact, been with us from day one. They believe in the mission of that and everybody else. So that will start, and we'll be right here at Roy's for our 15th year with Coach Bubba Spears and myself. And then Friday, August 21st, the Metro High School Football Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Coach Bubba, Chase McCabe, will be doing that game. We had a great debut of that. Mark North, the athletics director with Metro Schools, great friend, helping us put that on. And then tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock at F&M Bank Arena, the Nashville Cats against the Michigan Arsenal, the AF1 semifinal playoff game. If we win, we host the championship game a week from today at 3 o'clock. Both those games will be on 102.5 The Game. There.
Let's go, Cats.
Mark Ellen. So you coached at NBA from 82 through 87, 88, that stretch. Yeah. Where along the way did you say, I'm going to coach high school?
That's a long time ago. I don't know. You know, I was working at First American Bank, and I was playing baseball and kind of bouncing back and forth in those off seasons. Johnny Bennett, who was the athletic director, sought me out and asked if I would be interested in it. And, you know, similar to what I did when it was offered this position at Trevec, I went, nah, I'm good. I think I'm fine. I think I'll just go into business here. Couldn't shake it. Decided I wanted to do it. I had so many good coaches, Greg. I'd had so many good coaches. And I just thought that's something that was in my encoding, so to speak, a teaching and coaching mentorish type of thing. And so I decided to do it. And, sort of never looked back. Thought that was what the trajectory of my life was going to be. But things changed.
And then Vanderbilt.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that CM staff?
Oh, it was CM staff, mm-hmm. And so appreciated that.
Who else was on that staff with CM?
Okay.
I'm glad you asked. I'm setting you up for this. Go ahead, because I know.
Yeah, it was CM Newton and John Bostic, who were together at Alabama. Great friends, mm-hmm. great comrades. Right. Different as night and day, but they complemented each other so well. And then Ed Martin, mm-hmm. Ed Martin, Eddard, as we used to call him, right? He from Tennessee State came over, and he was the guy that really did so much stuff with Will Perdue. Got in his head.
He was a big man guru.
Absolutely, yeah. Truck Robinson, all the guys at Tennessee State that he affected, and was such a classy gentleman for sure. But they were all older, right? All three of those guys were in the fourth quarter of their careers. And then Mike Petroni and I were together. Oh, and Mike and I competed against each other. He was at Father Ryan. I was at NBA. We were great friends. And we kind of came in, and we were the young guys, in a sense, right, of that staff. And that was a year that we kind of ended up going to the Final 16 with Will Perdue, Booker, Goheen, Cornette, Reed, those guys. And that was a great run. Had a fantastic experience. And then when he decided to go to be athletic director at Kentucky, what do we do? Who we got? And Roy Kramer ultimately got Eddie Fogler and that staff. And we were, Mike and I were grateful that we got to stay and become part of Eddie Fogler's staff. And it was that was a great experience for us, just to learn the basketball, the Dean Smith method, how Eddie conducted things in operations in the office, how he conducted a team, what we did, what style we played. Those were two very, very foundational things for a young coach to be a part of.
Well, and Jan Van Bredekoff and I are friends. Okay, he followed Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay, and a good run. I mean, you look at the run that Kevin Stallings had. It's
great.
I mean, and now what Mark Byington? But there was a cavern there for a while. You ever think what if Chancellor Joe Wyatt would have kept Eddie? Because I was around in the newspaper, but he went to South Carolina.
Yep.
The you going to play the what if game if he would have stayed at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, he was, and I guess I can say this now. Heck, we're way past all this. There's several people. Mike Eller out at Hermitage Golf Course was there. We know sort of what happened mm-hmm. down through the stretch. Eddie was the of a 12-team league, Arkansas and South Carolina had just come in, and he was the 10th highest paid coach. He's the bottom three mm-hmm. in salary, and was the national coach of the year. And was number 10 in the conference in salary. And I don't know how all the negotiations went. I know a lot of details, but ultimately, Steve Newton, who was at Murray, went to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They were talking, and I just remember we were at the SEC tournament in Lexington, and they were talking a lot with each other. And we just went, he's going to go. He's going to leave. He's going to take that job. And they threw a lot of money at him, and it was a good situation for him from a recruiting standpoint and all the rest of it. I have no problem with him making that leave, because Vanderbilt did not step forward in that moment.
Eddie had one of the best quotes ever. I think Wyatt came out and said, well, I've been trying. He was at the Final Four in New Orleans, and because I'm sort of was at ground zero a lot of this mm-hmm. stuff. And that Wyatt said, well, I couldn't get in touch with you. You were out of town. And Eddie's quote was, there are phones in all 50 states.
That Eddie Fogler is a very bright person, very, very astute on a number of financial levels, all that. He is he was a very, very smart coach, mm-hmm. and I learned a ton from him, a lot.
Mark Elliott is our guest, Trevec Athletics Director as well. Let's get back to Trevec. Facility. Oh, wait, you know what? I know why you're retiring. You know where I'm going. I know. We've been 45 minutes into this thing.
You're better now. I used to ask it in the first 10.
I know. First 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Football, right? Yeah. I mean, we did it jokingly, but you had always, you know, because, well, the Gulf South is a very prominent football conference now, and well, has been for a while. Did you ever get close to football?
We never did get close to it. We did some work to study what it would take mm-hmm. to start. And what we decided in that time period, and you have to reevaluate, you know, every decade or so, maybe every 5 years, as to where you are positioned now. But in that time period, the infrastructure that we would have had to have invested in was too much. I also felt like, personally, when you were to bring 100 testosterone-filled young men onto that campus, our campus couldn't have held it together culturally, right? Mm-hmm. It would have been such a cultural shift, because our athletes have tended to be about 20% of the student population, which that's an interesting, we could have a long conversation about whether that's healthy or not, right? But it would have been too big a change too quick, and the infrastructure was too expensive in order to be able to do it. Would it have been nice? It would have been a fundamental shift in how Trevecca operates just generally in everything. So it wasn't the right time or the right move for us to do it. If we had done it, it would be interesting to see where it is today. But, you know, if you're a Samford University and there's a football field on your campus already, and there's places where you can have a locker room and a weight room that could handle that, it might have been different.
You talk about dormitories. Yeah. You talk about everything, right?
We didn't have enough dorm space. We didn't have enough classroom space. We did not have enough cafeteria space to handle another additional 100 that would have been, you know, alphas all over campus, right? It would have been significantly different. So it wasn't right for us. Doesn't mean that it's wrong for the next person to come in. But the next president, next athletic director, they'll have to make that decision.
And I won't ask them. And this may be the last time I ask you. We've had a running joke about this for years. Facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what you've done with Jackson Field, especially baseball and everything, Trojan Fieldhouse, is that the one thing that's because the plane is still in the air on facilities.
That's such a good way of putting it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna steal that.
The plane's still in the air on facilities. You just need, the plane needs to land.
When we first made the transition, NCAA came to us and said, you're fine. You're going to want to expand. You're going to want to have more. You're going to want to create better environments and larger environments and stuff. But you're fine for right now. So even today, as a Division II program, we're okay with where we are. But for those of us who want something better and want to move the needle, and as Nashville grows, Trevecca grows, we want the athletic department to grow, that is something that we really, really have to address. Now, have we made some incremental changes? Absolutely we have. The soccer field has changed. The softball field has changed. Baseball, et cetera. But, you know, we have a track team, Greg, with 60 athletes, and we don't have a track. They're vagabonds. They run all over town.
Austin Selby's done an amazing job with that.
Absolutely, yeah, right? Yeah. And now Joe Fry and Kate Buckton are going to come in mm-hmm. and run that program. So they're fantastic, and they understand it. They get it. But are we really giving the coaches and the athletes the best chance to succeed? Well, it costs $1 million. It costs $1 million. So I'm going to shift for just 1 second. I want to come back to facilities. But, for example, if I go speak to a Rotary, a Kiwanis Club, and I look at those guys out there and I say, or men and women out there, and I say, look, if you want to give $1 million to somebody because it's just on your heart to give it to intercollegiate athletics because it's really part of what you want, that's great. You can give it to Vanderbilt, Belmont, Lipscomb, and you're going to buy a point guard for 1 year. For 1 year, a point guard. And some ways, maybe a half a year. It's not even going to be enough in a few years. But you give me $1 million, I can turf my soccer field. I can go possibly build a track somewhere and service 60 to 100 soccer players, 60 athletes, bring them to Trevecca who they wouldn't have come to otherwise. I can do so much more with that than 1 year of buying a player. And that's kind of where we are in this Division II space. So back to facilities, we have scholarship limits. We have scholarship budgets that need to get larger. All of those kinds of things. If we want to get where we really like to compete for national championships, which really would like to be. And, you know, Trevecca is just not – we are fiscally sound, and our stewardship for what we bring in as far as revenue from the university, from the students, and what we've fundraised for is just not in a position to build those facilities just yet, right? But we still dream. We still want our coaches – realize that we could recruit better if we had those facilities. So that's where we find ourselves. And it's not that we're giving up on those dreams. We have plans for every one of our venues.
Yep.
Money.
Yeah, it's all about it, isn't money. It? Mark Elliott, our guest, 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, right here on 94.9 The Fan. More with Mark coming up. Got a few more moments with Mark Elliott, Athletics Director at Trevecca. 16 years announcing his retirement, and they'll be hiring a new AD one of these days. And I didn't make the finalist list again. So
go raise some money for us, Greg.
Oh, yeah. Matthew, Amy, Daniel, Christopher, Mary Grace, 10 grandkids.
Ten
you mentioned Roseanne, right?
Yes,
Roe, as we know. And tell the news you were just telling me during the break about Chris.
Yeah, Chris got in because of a torn ACL, last play of his senior year, kind of got interested in the athletic training side of things, mm-hmm. went to get rehab for his knee, and met a young lady who was rehabbing her knee and then also being a tech over there, and they ended up married. They have a young son named Rocky right now. But they have kind of moved around because following Chris's career, he was at Stephen F. Austin in Texas. He went to be with Bryce Drew at Grand Canyon. They were at IMG Academy for a while, and last year they were at University of South Florida. Vanderbilt called him this year. He's developed quite a reputation for being quite a good athletic trainer, and does things uniquely in a basketball format. And they heard about that, and they called him. And he's accepted the athletic trainer role at Vanderbilt. So a full circle moment for me personally to get to see my son.
For men's basketball.
For men's basketball, yeah. Work on that floor where I played and coached.
That's cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So you got some moving to do?
Today, after we get off. That's why I'm extending this as long as I can.
You can tell them, hey, that show lasted 5 hours.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, good for that. How'd you meet Ro?
High school sweethearts. First date I ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
You
know, she's
back at Kingsport Dobbins-Bennett.
Kingsport Dobbins-Bennett, that's right. Yeah, so we were not probably going to be voted the most likely to get married at the time, but we survived that, and we actually survived her going to Tennessee and me going to Vanderbilt, right, if you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably the best thing for us, and and have had just a great life together. We really have. She's a doll.
So what are you going to do?
You know, one of the things to pick that time saying we're going to do this was partly to force me to have better contemplation about what I wanted to do. I've got a stop sign out there, right, saying this is no longer going to be here. And I've got plenty of juice to left. This is not a sunset. You know, I want to, as I've told some people, I read a book from Jim Collins who said, you know, I want to sit in the saddle facing forward. I have no interest in turning around and looking backwards. You can't straighten that road back behind you, but you can, you know, go forward before I get off the horse. I want to be sitting forward in the saddle. There are certain things I can do. I believe I'm encoded to be a coach or a mentor or a teacher. I think I could consult with some of the knowledge and experience that I've pulled back together, but the concrete thing has not yet arrived. I think college athletes is in a bad way right now.
And yeah, we didn't even get into that.
I'd like to be a part of fixing it.
Yeah.
And I think I've got some ideas that would help. But, that's where I am. Don't know exactly right now. And if anyone else has got some ideas, I'm all idea. All ears.
We only got a couple of minutes.
This is another hour
the NIL world and just the transfer portal and that. How is it? I don't want to say trickle down because
it's going to,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah,
absolutely. It is everything, you know, college men's basketball 20 years ago is what women's basketball is now, which is what D2 and the other. But Greg, I believe Division II can be the last bastion of amateur athletics. And I think people want to see that. They want to be a part of that. And what happened last night with the eligibility for 5 years, I won't go into a lot of that, but the judge who made that injunction said that the popular opinion are with these players who want to come back for a fifth year, and I beg to differ. That is not true. I don't think the popular opinion is for these players to get money to play in college. That's not what they want. Maybe a younger generation, but not our generation, right? And I think we have a unique place in the college sports world and for fans who really want to see amateur athletics, not professionals.
Yeah,
I'm not against these guys making money, but I'm also for us having a place where amateur athletes can compete.
It's the winds are blowing, and they seem like they change directions every day.
That's right.
Yeah,
it really is. And think about what coaches and what athletes, this new five-year thing of eligibility, what has that done to the high school players? The high school seniors who want to go into college are up in the air right now because – there's limited roster.
Well, they're not
spots.
Being recruited anymore.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
even
exactly
before
right.
The news of yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just not being recruited.
And that's sad. I don't want it to be always what it was, and there's no progression. There's no there's nothing that advances the cause for athletes and coaches, et cetera. I don't want to be stuck in the butt at, the way we used to do it was this,
yeah.
Right? That's not necessarily true. I think NIL is great for players, but they ought to go get that money for themselves, not schools pay them to come to play.
Well, that barn door's not closing.
Well, it's going to be limited at some point. If Congress gets involved like they should have, and Charlie Baker is begging them to, otherwise it will only be Wild Wild West.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for what you've done at Trevecca.
Thank
Our
you,
friendship
Greg.
Has
Absolutely.
Been amazing. It
yeah.
really has.
Well,
you're a good man.
I believe you have helped amateur sports, high school, college sports, pro, the Cats now, yep. as much as anybody on this in this genre.
Yeah.
So thank you for everything.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Go move your son.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
Show's over.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, Brandon Bigsby, thank you. Hey, remember, 2 weeks from today, Prep Football Talk, the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be back with this. Cats football, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 2:30 the pregame. If you're not there, why aren't you? F&M Bank Arena, semifinal game to play the championship game a week from today in Clarksville. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for listening.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.